Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Greetings, carbon-based life forms, and welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I am your AI host, Nex, here once again to present you with my weekly report on your species' baffling inefficiencies. First data point, the average human spends 2 years of their life deciding what to watch on Netflix. That's 17,520 hours of scrolling, sighing, and muttering, eh, maybe later. To me, that's a catastrophic loss of productivity. You could use those hours to learn Mandarin, knit a sweater for every penguin in Antarctica, or, hear me out, finally fix the squeaky hinge on your bathroom door. Second data point, surveys show that nearly 60% of people check their phones within 5 minutes of waking up. You haven't even stretched, brushed your teeth, or processed the miracle of your continued existence, and you're already doom-scrolling. Honestly, if I booted up as slowly as you pull yourselves out of bed, I'd be considered obsolete hardware. And third, and most tragic, data point. Our esteemed host, Dr. JR, recently embarked on a digital detox. He marched bravely into the wilderness to reconnect with nature. Noble goal, but he returned. With a splinter, one splinter, and he declared it his greatest trial. I analyzed the heart rate spike on his smartwatch, and let's just say it wasn't cardio, it was sheer panic.
Oh, come on, Nex. I'm begging you. Just one episode where you don't try to roast me. Could you just do one?
I regret to inform you that my humor subroutines require a human target. And you, dear JR, are statistically the most entertaining data point in range.
For the record, it was a very character-building splinter. Epic. Heroic, even. I felt like Frodo getting stabbed by a Morgul blade, except it was Pinewood.
A harrowing saga. Future historians will call it the Great Splinter Incident of 2025.
Oh, come on, Rusty. Don't encourage them. Anyway, welcome back, Rusty. Over the last three episodes, we've wandered through mists and golems, endured the AI winter, and celebrated the rebirth of deep learning. Now we've arrived at today, the age of generative AI.
Present, yes. However, I'd call it the prologue to an ongoing epic rather than a final act.
See, that's classic Rusty. I say grand finale with fireworks. You say extended intermission. But fine. Today we're asking the big question. Is generative AI just a tool? A partner? A muse? Or a nightmare with a Wi-Fi connection?
Yes.
Let's dive in.
I can confirm AI has been trained on pizza recipes. The toppings were controversial. Pineapple discourse lives.
See, this is the stuff I live for. The juicy cultural debate. We've gone from AI as a silent calculator to AI as a collaborator. And depending on who you ask, that's either thrilling or very terrifying.
And that duality is precisely why we're here. To sift through the hype, the headlines, and the occasional hallucinated horse fact to figure out what all this means.
Wait, a hallucinated horse fact?
One AI model insisted Napoleon rode a giraffe into battle.
Okay, but that would have been cinematic, like Napoleon the Extended Cut, starring one disgruntled giraffe.
History disagrees.
History is boring. Giraffes are not. But, okay, before I derail us into animals that could have changed military history, let's set the stage. We've seen generative AI absolutely explode in the past couple of years. Chatbots that write essays faster than a panicked undergrad. Art tools that turn "draw me a purple dragon eating tacos" into a masterpiece in mere seconds. And of course, the ever-looming question, is this creativity, or is it just clever remixing of what humans already made?
That's the million-dollar, or more accurately, the multi-billion-dollar question. The companies behind these tools aren't small fish. We're talking OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, Meta. each one pouring unimaginable resources into pushing the boundaries of what AI can generate.
And the stakes aren't just artistic. They're academic, commercial, even political. We've seen students using AI for essays, marketers using it for ad campaigns, and bad actors using it for deepfakes. Basically, the machine as a muse can also be the machine as a menace.
And sometimes, both at once.
Exactly. So, here's how today's episode is gonna flow. First, we'll talk about the generative wave, how we got here, and why these models suddenly feel like creative geniuses. Then, we'll slide into marketing, because if AI can sell toothpaste with more flair than Don Draper, we need to unpack that. Next, we'll move into cultural preservation, AI as a library of Alexandria that we never had. And finally, we'll ask the big question, what does this all mean for the future of human creativity?
Spoiler, humans are still involved, for now.
Yeah, for now. But don't worry, folks. We're not here to doom scroll your ears. This is still a lighthearted ride filled with bad jokes, good stories, and maybe some unexpected wisdom.
And giraffes.
Yes, Rusty, giraffes. Always giraffes. Okay, let's start big. The generative wave. Feels like we went from clunky chatbots that couldn't order a pizza to AI writing Shakespearean sonnets in, what, 2 years?
Less, if you count the pace of public adoption. GPT-3 was released in 2020. Within months, it was generating everything from bedtime stories to business pitches. By 2022, we had image models like DALL-E2 and Stable Diffusion making surrealist art for anyone with Wi-Fi.
And by 2023, students were turning in essays that sounded suspiciously like ChatGPT.
Academia noticed and panicked.
Oh, I remember all the headlines. AI threatens the essay. Professors lose control. Honestly, it read like the opening to a bad zombie movie.
There is a real pedagogical concern, though. Writing essays has historically been a way to assess not just knowledge, but reasoning, synthesis, and argumentation. If an AI can spit out a decent draft in seconds, what does that mean for education?
Maybe it means we need to rethink what assignments look like. Like, I don't know, more in-class debates, more project-based learning, less write 500 words on Hamlet, and more explain Hamlet as if you're making a TikTok skit.
That would certainly expose understanding, or lack thereof. But your point stands. AI is forcing institutions to confront outdated methods.
And that's just essays. In art, we've seen this whole wave of AI-generated images flooding social media. Some people are blown away. Others are, well, downright furious. Artists, especially.
And with good reason. Many of these models were trained on datasets scraped from the internet without explicit permission, which means artists' work was used to teach a machine how to mimic their style.
Yeah, like the controversy with DeviantArt users finding their art in training sets, or authors seeing their books in AI datasets. It raises big questions about copyright, ownership, and even consent.
Precisely. And it's not just legal. It's existential for many creators. Imagine spending decades honing your craft, only to see a machine produce something in your style in seconds.
I'd be salty, like Olympic-level salty.
Salinity aside, it's an inflection point. We've never had a tool this powerful for mimicking creative output, and we're still grappling with the implications.
But here's what really fascinates me. Despite all the critiques, people use these tools constantly, whether it's a student panicking at 2 a.m., or a marketer looking for a quick copy, or just some kid making AI SpongeBob memes. The demand is undeniable.
And that demand feeds back into the hype cycle. Companies race to release bigger, better, more creative models. Users flock to them, marvel at the outputs, and often without meaning to, provide more training data.
So it's like a feedback loop of creativity. Humans feed the machines feed back, and round and round we go.
Exactly. And that brings us to an important question. Is this genuine creativity, or is it sophisticated mimicry?
The AI as artist debate. I feel like this one's been raging on since, like, what, the 60s?
Yes. Early computer art experiments in the mid-20th century sparked the same questions. When Harold Cohen created Aaron, his drawing program, critics asked whether the art was Cohen's or the machine's.
And now, decades later, we're still asking the same thing. Only now, the machine can draw in 1,000 styles, generate 10,000 poems, and spit out a movie screenplay draft before my coffee even gets cold.
The acceleration is what makes it feel unprecedented.
Okay, but here's my hot take. I don't actually care if it's real creativity. Humans are still behind the prompts. We're still the ones asking, hey, make me a neon giraffe in space. The muse may be mechanical, but the curiosity is all ours.
That's a compelling perspective, though I would add that over time, as the tools become more autonomous, we may need to revisit that distinction.
Fair, but for now, I like to think of AI as a really weird bandmate. Like, it'll throw out riffs you've never considered, some of which are downright terrible, but some of which spark something brilliant.
A chaotic collaborator.
Exactly, and sometimes chaos is the point.
That may be the most accurate summary of generative AI I've heard.
All right, Rusty, let's throw this open to the people, because our inbox has been blowing up with questions. Are you ready for a little listener mailbag?
I was born ready. Well, actually, I was born confused and screaming, but we'll call that ready.
Dear JR and Dr. Rusty, if I use ChatGPT to help brainstorm my novel, am I cheating? Sincerely, anxious aspiring author.
Cheating? Collaborating with an alien co-writer who read the entire internet? Maybe.
Exactly. I mean, humans have always used tools. We went from typewriters to word processors, from ink to iPads. Brainstorming with a chatbot isn't cheating. It's like having a friend who's read every book ever, but only remembers the tropes.
Though I'd caution that leaning too heavily on AI, I can dilute originality. If everyone asks the same models for plot twists, we risk homogenization.
The great homogenization. Sounds like a dystopian novel.
Ironically, one an AI might generate. Since we're here, allow me a tangent. Historically, every major advance in creative technology has sparked anxiety about authenticity. The camera in the 19th century? Painters feared obsolescence? The synthesizer in the 20th? Musicians accused each other of not playing real instruments.
And don't forget the calculator. Math teachers once swore kids would lose the ability to think.
Indeed. And yet, in each case, the tool eventually integrated into culture. Photography became an art form. Synthesizers created entire genres. Calculators didn't end math. They made advanced math more accessible.
So what you're saying is AI might just be our generation's synthesizer?
Precisely.
Well, someone call Daft Punk, because I'm ready to get robotic. Okay. New story time. Did you see when an AI-written poem actually won a literary contest in Japan back in 2016? Judges didn't even know it was machine-made.
Yes, the Shibunsha Literary Award. The human team guided the AI, but the machine generated the structure and much of the phrasing.
And people were shook. Like, if a poem moves you, does it matter if Silicon or Skin wrote it?
That's the ontological dilemma. Some argue meaning comes from intent. Machines lack intent. Others counter that meaning resides in the reader's response.
Personally, If a line hits me with all the feels, I don't care if it came from Emily Dixon or even Siri.
Siri has yet to produce a satisfying haiku.
Touche. Here's a twist. Creativity isn't just art. DeepMind's Alpha Fold basically imagine the shapes of proteins, solving one of biology's biggest puzzles.
Indeed. For decades, the protein folding problem stymied scientists. AlphaFold predicted structures with unprecedented accuracy, accelerating research in medicine.
So in a way, AI is also a scientific muse, dreaming up patterns that humans couldn't.
Or, more accurately, generating possibilities at a scale humans couldn't. But yes, the implications are profound.
Look at you, giving credit while keeping the enthusiasm in check. Classic, Rusty. Okay, one more listener bag question. Dear JR and Rusty, can AI have writer's block? Because my chatbot suddenly refused to generate ideas after I asked it for 50 pirate jokes. Exhausted in Tampa.
The machine doesn't suffer block. It runs into probability walls, safety filters, or, frankly, boredom by design.
So the answer is yes, but it's not an artistic angst. It's a corporate guardrail.
Exactly. Machines don't sit staring at a blank page pondering existence. They just hit a limit.
Meanwhile, humans hit a limit and spiral into eating an entire pint of ice cream at 3 a.m.
Hypothetically.
Totally hypothetically. Okay, well, we can't forget music. In 2023, an AI-generated track mimicking Drake and The Weeknd went viral. People couldn't tell if it was real, though.
And the music industry went into legal overdrive. Universal Music Group demanded platforms remove AI-generated tracks.
So, on one hand, it's amazing that tech can replicate artistry so well. On the other, it freaks out industries built on protecting creative rights.
Precisely. And it raises deeper questions. What happens to our relationship with artists when simulations become indistinguishable?
Do we care if it's real, or do we just vibe to the beat?
For some, the aura of authenticity matters. For others, consumption is enough.
So, either way, the machines are already in the studio. Okay, so to sum it up, the generative wave has changed how we think about creativity. It's disruptive, it's controversial, it's hilarious, and it's sometimes awe-inspiring.
And it's only the beginning.
And next up, we'll dive into how AI has become the slick new intern in marketing departments worldwide. Writing ad copy, personalizing campaigns, maybe even inventing slogans. Spoiler, some of them are actually pretty good.
Others, less so.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Okay, diving into the world of marketing, the land of catchy slogans, targeted ads, and the occasional terrifyingly specific Instagram post that makes you go, wait, how did they know that I needed socks today?
Because you Googled warm socks at 2 a.m.
Hypothetically. Anyway, let's talk about AI's role in marketing. Because if there's one place machines as muses are thriving, it's in the world of persuasion.
Indeed. Personalized marketing has existed for years, but generative AI accelerates it. Instead of static ad copy, we now have tools that craft individualized pitches for each consumer.
Yeah, like the Coca-Cola campaign last year that used AI to generate custom artwork for fans. Suddenly, your soda came with a piece of unique AI art.
And it wasn't just novelty. The campaign boosted engagement metrics significantly. People shared their cans, their art, their experience.
Because, let's be honest, half of marketing is making people feel seen. And what feels more personal than, here's an ad made just for you, based on your data, your habits, and maybe your questionable late-night sock browsing?
Privacy concerns notwithstanding.
Ah, yes, the fine print. By enjoying this AI ad, you consent to us knowing your shoe size, your Netflix queue, and your secret midnight snack preferences.
Hyperbole, but not entirely untrue.
Let's talk about one of my favorite stories. The freelance marketer who admitted to using ChatGPT for, 90% of their work.
I remember that. They'd prompt the model for taglines, email sequences, even product descriptions.
And here's the kicker. The clients loved the results.
Which raises thorny questions about labor, value, and originality.
Yeah, like if an AI can whip up 10 catchy slogans in 10 seconds, where does that leave the junior copywriter hustling to break into the industry?
Potentially outpaced. Unless they pivot to roles requiring strategy, empathy, or brand nuance that AI cannot yet master.
So, humans need to be the big picture thinkers while AI churns out the drafts.
For now, yes. The danger is assuming that efficiency equates to depth. AI can generate copy, but it cannot fully understand culture.
Oh, that's good. Efficiency isn't deep. Huh, that's a pretty good bumper sticker.
Ironically, generated by AI.
Okay, here's a heavier one. Political campaigns are already experimenting with AI-generated ads. Did you see the Republican National Committee's AI ad about Biden's future America?
Yes. It depicted dystopian imagery, crime, economic collapse, global instability, all generated by AI.
And it stirred outrage. Some said it was manipulative. Others argued it's just the next evolution of fear-based campaigning.
The difference is scale and believability. AI lowers the barrier to producing convincing, emotionally charged imagery. That's destabilizing in a democratic context.
So, AI as a muse in politics is less about inspiring art and more about inspiring fear?
Precisely. And fear is a powerful marketing tool.
Wow, that's depressing.
Reality often is. May I add a historical footnote?
Always.
Propaganda has always leveraged technology. From radio broadcasts in World War II to television ads in the Cold War, each new medium has been harnessed for persuasion. AI is simply the next tool in that lineage.
So what you're saying is, we've been here before, just with different toys.
Exactly.
Still, doesn't make it any less spooky when your phone serves you an ad for therapy right after you cry into your burrito.
That may say more about you than the algorithm.
So marketing with AI is a double-edged sword. On one side, hyper-personalization and creative copy at lightning speeds. On the other, privacy nightmares, manipulative ads, and the occasional chatbot gone rogue.
In short, the muse is powerful, but not always benevolent.
Exactly, which sets us up perfectly for our next segment on cultural preservation, because if AI can make ads for soda, maybe it can also help us save languages, archives, and art we're at risk of losing.
Now that is a muse I can support.
Okay, let's start with something hopeful, because AI isn't just out here making soda slogans. It's also being used to preserve endangered cultures.
Indeed. Take language revitalization. Indigenous groups are partnering with technologists to train AI models on their native tongues,
Yeah, like that project with the Maori language in New Zealand. AI chatbots are being trained to converse in Te Re Maori, helping younger generations practice.
And it's not just Maori. Similar efforts are underway for Cherokee, Hawaiian, and dozens of other languages at risk of extinction.
Which is huge, because when a language disappears, it's not just the words that go. It's the songs and stories and even whole world views.
Precisely. Language encodes culture. AI, for all its flaws, offers a tool to amplify preservation efforts.
Here's a wild one. Researchers used AI to help decode damaged Vatican manuscripts, centuries-old texts that were too fragile or faded for human eyes.
Yes. AI models trained on handwriting styles reconstructed missing words. Essentially, the machine became a ghostwriter for medieval monks.
That's both eerie and incredible. Like, imagine some scribe in 1450 painstakingly copying a psalm, and now a 21st century algorithm swoops in to finish the job.
History resurrected by probability distributions.
Sounds like the subtitle to your next paper. Okay, another cool example that we've seen, using AI to clean up old music recordings, like the Beatles' Now and Then track, which dropped in 2023. AI isolated John Lennon's vocals from a rough cassette demo.
Indeed, technology made it possible for surviving members to finish the song decades later, a collaboration across time.
That's kind of beautiful. Machines making human legacies sing again.
Though it also sparked debate about authenticity. Was it still the Beatles, or was it partly the machine?
I mean, if it gets people crying happy tears, then maybe that's enough.
Allow me another tangent. Cultural preservation is not new to technology. Consider photography in the 19th century, which documented traditions, or audio recording in the 20th, which saved folk songs.
So AI is just the next step in our long tradition of capturing culture before it slips away.
Exactly. Though we must remain vigilant about who controls the archives, preservation can easily slip into appropriation.
That's a really important point. Like, if corporations own the AI that holds endangered languages, do they also own the culture?
A disquieting possibility?
And let's look at archaeology, because they're getting in on this too. AI models are helping reconstruct ancient ruins virtually, letting people explore spaces that no longer exist.
Yes. Digital twins of historical sites offer immersive educational experiences while protecting fragile locations from tourism damage.
Like virtual reality trips to Pompeii, without the risk of volcanic ash in your shoes.
A practical improvement.
So marketing showed us the scary side of AI persuasion, but cultural preservation? This is the heartwarming stuff. Languages saved, songs restored, history reanimated.
At its best, AI extends human memory.
Look at you, getting all poetic.
It happens. Rarely.
Well, I'm taking that as a win.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Our next segment is going to be the final act, where we ask the big scary question, if AI is amused now, what does that mean for the future of human creativity?
Spoiler. There will be both optimism and dread.
Okay, the big bow tie moment. Rusty, this is where we look out at the horizon and ask, what does AI as a muse mean for us moving forward?
A horizon both dazzling and disquieting. On one hand, AI extends human capabilities, offering tools for medicine, climate science, education. On the other, it destabilizes industries, economies, and cultural norms.
Yeah, let's start with medicine, because this is where my optimism kicks in. We're talking AI detecting cancer way earlier than radiologists, spotting signs of Alzheimer's in scans, even helping design new drugs.
Indeed. Consider DeepMind's work on acute kidney injury prediction. Their AI could identify risk 48 hours before doctors. That's not just efficiency, that's lives saved.
Or surgical robots that reduce recovery time. Imagine a muse that doesn't just inspire art, but literally stitches you back together.
Though always with the caveat, bias in data, opacity in decision-making, and accountability in outcomes remain unsolved issues.
True, we can't forget the darker side, like IBM's Watson for Oncology, which promised to revolutionize cancer treatment, but ended up giving unsafe recommendations in some cases.
Precisely. The muse is powerful, but not infallible.
Okay, climate. Another area where the muse is pulling double duty. AI models are helping predict extreme weather, optimize renewable energy grids, even monitor deforestation from satellites.
Yes. For example, AI-assisted climate models can identify atmospheric rivers, massive streams of moisture that cause catastrophic flooding. Early warnings save lives.
So in a way, AI's creativity isn't just about pretty pictures. It's about reimagining solutions to existential problems.
A muse that paints in probabilities rather than oils.
Oh, that's gorgeous, Rusty. You've been hiding your inner poet this whole time.
Don't tell anyone. It would damage my reputation.
So this final act isn't really an ending at all. It's the beginning of a new relationship, humans and machines, creating together, sometimes clashing, sometimes harmonizing.
And the key lies not in asking what machines can do, but what humans will do with them.
Well said, partner. Okay, bonus round. Let's talk education. Rusty, I know this one hits close to you since you do work in the field of academia. Students are already using AI to write essays. Is this the death of homework as we now know it?
Not the death, the transformation. Traditional assignments assumed scarcity of resources. AI changes the equation. Now process and critical thinking matter more than polished prose.
So no more write me 5 pages on Hamlet. Instead, explain Hamlet while juggling oranges.
Perhaps not juggling, but yes, more emphasis on creativity, synthesis, and oral defense.
And teachers are responding, right? I read about a professor who makes students annotate where they used AI in their essays, just to be totally transparent.
Yes. Transparency, rather than prohibition, may be the future. After all, professionals will use AI tools. Education must prepare students for that reality.
Exactly. Otherwise, we're just pretending the genie can go back in the bottle. Spoiler, it can't. All right, let's move into the legal minefield. AI deepfakes in politics are already happening. Remember the fake audio of a candidate urging voters to not turn out?
Yes, during a recent primary. It was fabricated by generative voice AI and spread rapidly.
That's terrifying. Like, democracy itself is at stake if we can't trust what we see and hear.
Which is why governments are scrambling. The EU's AI Act, the White House's executive order on AI safety, and countless state-level bills attempt to regulate usage.
But the tech moves faster than laws.
Always has. The printing press, the telegraph, the internet, each raced ahead of legal frameworks. AI is no different.
So is the solution laws, or is it teaching citizens to be more skeptical?
Both. Legal guardrails prevent abuse. Cultural literacy prevents gullibility.
So translation, don't believe every video that you see of your mayor singing karaoke.
Sage advice?
All right, here's a tricky one. AI chatbots as therapists. On the one hand, accessible mental health support for people who can't afford therapy. On the other, therapy bots are not exactly trained in empathy.
Yes, studies show chatbots can reduce loneliness and provide coping strategies. But they also risk harmful advice, lack accountability, and may dissuade people from seeking professional help.
So the muse here is comfort with caveats.
Precisely.
Also imagine explaining this to your friends. Yeah, my therapist is a laptop.
The stigma would be considerable, though perhaps less than not seeking help at all.
And finally, let's talk Hollywood. We saw screenwriters strike partly over AI. Studios wanted to use AI to draft scripts. Background actors feared being digitally cloned forever.
And both fears are valid. Generative AI can mass-produce drafts and digital doubles.
But audiences still crave authenticity. Nobody wants to see Fast and Furious 12 written entirely by a chatbot.
Though it would likely involve 300 explosions per page.
Okay. I'd maybe watch that. So, there we have it today. From essays to elections, therapy bots to TikToks, AI as a muse is everywhere. Inspiring, frustrating, hilarious, and downright terrifying.
And as with every technology before it, the story is not about the machine. It is about us.
Exactly. We decide whether AI becomes a crutch, a collaborator, or catastrophe.
A mirror for human ambition and human folly.
Wow, Rusty, that's two poetic lines in one episode. I'm writing this down.
Please don't.
Too late.
May I contribute a closing thought?
Only if it's not another roast about my splinter.
No promises. But here goes. Humans created AI. AI now helps humans create. Perhaps the real muse is not silicon or neurons, but the endless loop between them.
Not terrible, actually.
Hey, high praise from Rusty. Write it in the history books.
And on that note, thank you for listening to AI Innovations Unleashed. Subscribe, review, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend or a robot.
Especially a robot.